Well, we want to continue our messages on the adventure of prayer. And we want to talk tonight about a roadmap for prayer that God has given us in His Word. And it is something that is very important to us, and the principles that we see in it are good principles. They are God's principles, and they are there in the prayer that He teaches us about. I'm convinced tonight God answers prayer. Amen? God does answer prayer. And especially in things that are thought to be impossible. Just think of all the things in the Bible God has done that seem to be totally impossible. But somebody went to God in prayer, and God worked miracle after miracle to take care of these things. The Red Sea crossing. I believe prayer had something to do with that. The water that came from the rock. Can you imagine water coming from a rock? Someone strikes it. All of a sudden, there's a stream coming from that rock. I believe in those miracles, and I believe prayer had something to do with it. The sun stood still one time. I believe prayer had something to do with that. Another time, there was fire that came down from heaven and lapped up a sacrifice of Elijah on that altar. I believe prayer had something to do with that. The things that seem to be impossible, God will make possible if we'll just pray. There is a human responsibility. Though God is a sovereign God, there are some things He is not going to do unless we pray. Now, you hyper-Calvinists will have to smoke that in your little pipe, but I'm telling you that there are some things that God is not going to do until we pray. And that's just the way He's designed it in our lives. When we don't pray, we limit what God wants to do in our lives for His glory. James understood that. In James 4:2, the Bible says, "Ye lust and have not, ye kill and covet and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, ye have not." Why, James? Because you ask not. James said prayer does make a difference. You ask. I had a professor one time who said prayer didn't make a difference. I beg to disagree with him because the Bible disagrees with him. Prayer does make a difference. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 3:1, "Finally, brethren," Paul, the great apostle Paul, "pray for us that the word of the Lord may run and be glorified even as also it is with you." If James understood and Paul understood that they needed to pray and that they needed other people to pray for them, then certainly we need to recognize importance and the value of prayer as they presented it in the Word of God. And they were very emphatic about recruiting others to pray for them. Why? Because they knew, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the value of prayer. The best known prayer in the world is the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. The disciples came to Jesus and said, "Teach us to pray." Did you ever feel like you just need a little more help in prayer, that you needed to learn more about prayer? And they went to Jesus, perhaps being confused about how to approach Him, exactly what to pray, how to pray, and they said, "Teach us how to pray." And He gave a model to them and to us, 66 words, very brief in many ways, but it packs a wallop. And it was something that would exhibit His heart and what He longs for us in our lives in our relationship to Him. So look at Matthew chapter 6, if you would. Matthew chapter 6. And then if you would, look at verse 9, beginning with verse 9. Most of us are familiar with this. Jesus is giving them this illustration. He said in verse 9, Matthew 6, 9, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." They said, "Teach us to pray." He said, "Here's how you're supposed to pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And amen means so be it. And so while I'm preaching, say amen once in a while. It means so be it. Amen. So He is saying here, you asked me to teach you how to pray. And just in that brief account, He told them how to pray. And there's a lot in here that maybe you haven't seen or maybe we haven't seen. So we want to look very quickly at this roadmap to prayer. And think of just driving down the road and having signs on the right-hand side ever so often that gives you instructions and tells you how to arrive at the right place. And so we have that in our roadmap for prayer. It's like driving down a highway with that. Now, when we come to the first intersection, what do we have? He reminds us at that first intersection that we must need to praise God. Prayer involves praising God. Look at what he said. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Do you know that's praise? It means God's name is to be hallowed. There's no name like the name of God. We're to honor the name of God. We're to praise the name of God. And right out of the chute, he says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He's teaching his disciples how to pray. And what does he say? First of all, in that first intersection, he says, Give praise to God. Now we come to another intersection. What do we see here? He reminded us that we need to pray over our priorities. To pray over our priorities. What did he say in that next portion of the verse, of those verses? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's his desire for us. You'll notice if you study this as a whole, you'll have, first of all, God talking about himself, and then he's talking about us and our needs three different times, and then it comes full circle again back to God because we need God, and the whole idea is that we want to do what God wants us to do. Pray over our priorities. What should they be? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Is that your priority tonight? Is it my will be done? What I want to be done? Or is it, God, thy will be done? Too many Christians, it's my will be done instead of thy will be done. And that is the prayer of our priorities. Oh, praying over our priorities. Now we come to another intersection. The third intersection. And this one reminds us that God wants to provide our daily needs. He's teaching them to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Okay, pay attention. Here are the things that are very important in it. He reminds us that God wants to provide for us our daily needs. And what does he say? Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, teach us to pray. What are your needs tonight? What are your needs tomorrow? Call on God for them. Teach us to pray, and God will do it. Give us this day. And by the way, it implies it ought to be a daily trust. Amen? Not, Lord, bless me for a whole next year, and then don't pray about it anymore. Lord, daily give me these things. Lord, daily provide these things. I'm depending on you every day. That indicates we ought to even pray every day. Give us this day our daily bread. We come to the next intercession, and I would say that's a great big old sign there. And that has to do with our personal relationships. There it is. Lord, teach us how to pray. And he says, I want you to pay attention when you're praying in your prayers to your personal relationship. Look what he says. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's why I said that's a big sign. That's a toughie, isn't it? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. When we pray that, the faces of people that we know probably come into our mind. People that have hurt us. People that we haven't forgiven. People that we know did us wrong or for some reason we have something against them. And God says you need to get that right. In other words, take inventory of your relationships with other people. How are you getting along with them? Do those relationships need repair? There at your house, husband and wife, mother, daughter, father, son, teenager to teenager. How are your relationships? What are they? Take inventory of your relationship with others. And beloved, if they need repair, God says, stop and get them repaired. Stop and get them repaired. What do you think he meant by that? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In another way, it says forgive us our trespasses as we forgive our trespasses. Same difference. God says part of prayer is understanding our personal relationships need to be made right. Now we come to another intersection, and it reminds us that God protects us, that God wants to protect us. And what does he say in that verse? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. That is God's protection and God's deliverance. He says, trust me every day. Look to me for your protection. Look to me for your deliverance from whatever the trouble and difficulties and whatever you're going through. I'm there to help you. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then the final intersection, the last one, the last signpost, he says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Lord, teach us how to pray. Well, this is how you pray. And this is the last part of that prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In other words, that is the promise of God. What a promise we have here. Oh God, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. How long? Forever. What a God we serve. And he reminds us that he has given us the promise that he is in charge. Thank God tonight he's the everlasting king. He is the one that is in charge of everything. And we need to do what he wants us to do. And he can do anything that we cannot do that he wants to do for us, leaning on God and God's glory. The glory is his forever. The glory that outshines the sun, the moon, the stars, the galaxies, and all other things put together. The glory of God. What a wonderful thing it is. And so he invites us to bring to him in these verses our worship, and he invites us to bring in these verses as we pray our petitions to God. Now, notice too here, you may want to jot down some notes, that the Lord's Prayer covers every relationship that we have with God. It's all there in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father reminds us of our Father-child relationship. I'm a child of the King, somebody's saying. I'm a child of the King. Thank God. There's the Father-child relationship. Do you belong to God tonight? Are you his child? Are you glad that you're his child? He's the Father. We're the children. And then he said, hallowed be thy name. That means that we have that relationship of his worship and his deity and our worship toward that deity. Thy kingdom come. That means and reminds us that he is sovereign and we are the subjects. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. He is the master. We are the servants. And our job is to do his will, whatever his will is. That's my relationship with him. Give us this day our daily bread. That reminds us that he is our benefactor. We are the beneficiaries in our relationship. He's the one that gives us those things. He is the benefactor. And thank God for that relationship. Forgive us our trespasses. That is the Savior-sinner relationship. Forgive us of our sins. The Savior, the sinner. I'm the sinner. He's the Savior. He'll save me. And then after I'm saved throughout all of my life, as I confess my sins, 1 John 1:9, he forgives me of my sins. What a relationship we have in that relationship. Forgive us of our trespasses. Then lead us not into temptation. That is the guide-pilgrim relationship. He is the guide. We're the pilgrims. I need him. I need him to guide me. I need him to lead me not into temptation. The guide, the pilgrim. Then he says, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. That is the creator-creature relationship. He's the great creator. He gets all the glory for it forever. He really teaches us a lot in this prayer. And all of the emphasizing in this prayer is to emphasize our right relationship to God Almighty. He is our reliable God, and he is our reliable guide. And that is through prayer that we can depend on him. The heart of God. What does God want for us? Here's what he wants for us. Here's who he wants to be to us. Here's what he wants us to be. Now, knowing these things, knowing about prayer, does not necessarily mean doing those things. Many times we know but we don't necessarily act on our knowledge. I've mentioned that in other areas like Bible study and obeying the Word of God. But knowing is not necessarily action. And we know that we hear sermons on prayer, but that's not the key. The key is, do we pray? Do we learn to pray? Are we a praying people? I don't know how many books I have in my study, 30, 40, 50 books, I'm not sure, I hadn't counted them lately, just on prayer. And I'm glad I do, and maybe you have some books on prayer. You should have, and you should have a good Christian library at home, something besides the secular stuff and all of that. But we can know about prayer. It's not going to do us any good. We have to exercise prayer. You can know about prayer and still not know how to pray. We must exercise and practice in order to know how to pray and to learn how to pray. I could listen to someone for one solid year play beautiful music on a piano and listen to them and be absolutely infatuated with it and sit down and not play a lick on that piano like they can. You see, it isn't knowing about it in that. It has to be practicing it and doing it. If I would take the lessons and practice it, then I might learn to play the piano too, or might learn to play the instrument. And that's the way it is with prayer. You're not going to learn to pray until you're practicing prayer and exercising prayer and doing it all the time. Let me give you three quick habits that'll help you get your hearts ready to pray. One thing is anticipate. The word anticipate. What do you mean, preacher? Well, when you go to pray, God's coming to see you. Amen? You talk about great anticipation. God's coming to see me. God, now I know He's everywhere present, but there's something about it. Whenever you pray, you get alone with God, you get in the secret place, it's just you, and God shows up. Man, I love to be in that place in prayer, and many of you do too, where you know you're anticipating. It's not a drudgery to go in your prayer room. You go anticipating that God in all of His might and power and His presence is going to show up. He is going to be there when you pray. Another word is acknowledge. That's one thing, but we must acknowledge His presence. In other words, know that He's there. He is there, and talk to Him like He's there. Don't talk to Him like He's not there, because He is there. God is there in your prayer closet, wherever you pray and get alone with God. Talk to Him. Imagine God sitting over in a chair by you or in front of you. Imagine that God is there and that His presence is absolutely just as real as that chair. Some people just don't pray like that. God's there when we pray. We need to get alone with God, and we need to pray. We need to do it often, and we need to acknowledge He is there. And then we need to acclimate. I think it's good to be comfortable. Now, not too comfortable, not when you go to sleep, but it's good to be comfortable in prayer and find your place to pray so you can spend some time in prayer with God. In the Scripture, they bowed for prayer, they knelt for prayer, they lay down for prayer, they stood for prayer, they sat down for prayer, all of these different positions. The issue is not always, I don't think, the position. That is not so much the issue. But we need a posture that requires very little thought as far as what's going on around us in the atmosphere, and we need to focus our hearts and minds, whatever that posture is, in a relaxed way so we don't get in an uncomfortable situation, but we can spend a lot of time in prayer to God, talking to God. Prayer sometimes is a struggle, and we've mentioned that already. And Andrew Murray said this, who was a great prayer warrior, if we do not learn how to pray when we are younger, we will stumble at it all of our lives. Mothers and dads, teach your children how to pray. And don't make it just some rote something. Teach them how to pray. Pray from your heart. Teach them how to pray. It's important to pray. And even though sometimes it's a struggle, if we'll discipline ourselves to pray, we're going to see great, great results. Now, another thing, don't be a hypocrite when you pray. Don't be a hypocrite. Matthew 6:5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Here's a warning about prayer. Be careful when we're praying that we're just not trying to impress people with our prayers. God is not impressed with that at all. The Jewish culture, back in those days, they prayed every 3 hours. In other words, 3 o'clock they'd pray, 6 o'clock they'd pray, 9 o'clock they'd pray, every 3 hours. But those who were very hypocritical, and many who didn't live the life, would pray, and they would go where all the people were going to be at that hour, where most of the people were going to be. And they would raise their hands and they would begin to pray long, flowery prayers, beautiful prayers, so that when they got through and left, the people would say, "My, what a person of God that was," because of their long, beautiful, lengthy prayers in the public place. God says, don't be like that. Don't be like that. Sometimes we focus on our position rather than focusing on piety. We need to focus on God and not who we are and who we're trying to impress. We just need to pray from our hearts to Almighty God. It doesn't mean, by the way, that public praying is wrong. There are some groups that say, well, we should never pray in public. You should never pray in a group deal like we have here tonight, where we've called on people to come up and pray and so on and so forth. And they would say, you're not to do that. That's not what God is saying at all. That isn't what he's saying at all. He doesn't mean that that's wrong. But what God is saying is that when we pray, there should be a genuine thing in our hearts that we have with God that is so deep and so real that it's coming from our heart, not just from some intellectual capacity to impress other people or to even try to impress God. You're not going to impress God a whole lot. Our prayer lives, somebody has described it like those beautiful blue icebergs that you see in Alaska. When we were up there on the Alaska cruise, we went to one area and all of a sudden you begin to see these beautiful, beautiful blue pieces of ice floating around. They were small and then they got larger and larger. And then finally that guy pulled that boat right up into one of those areas where a glacier was slowly moving down and many of those had broken off. And what I learned about those later on was that about 9/10 of that beauty is below the water and only 1/10 of it is above the water. And I think that's the way our praying should be. Most of it should be below the water, in private, in our closet, and that's where the real beauty is going to come. There'll be some of it above water, and that's all right, 1/10 visibility. But it should not be to impress people. When we pray publicly, we ought to pray from our heart and pray to Almighty God. And then he says, he gives us another warning, don't be a heathen. Don't be a heathen. In verse 6 and 7, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain," that is empty goose egg repetitions, "as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." He says, don't be hypocritical and don't be like a heathen in your praying, or just necessarily using many, many, many words to try to impress. Someone said this, "One sentence burdened with the heart's desire, one sentence burdened with the heart's desire is dearer to God than an hour's rehearsing of words and phrases with no longing behind them." And that's true. It ought to come from our heart. When we talk to God, it needs to come from deep down within our heart. God does not want vain repetitions. God is not pleased with vain repetitions. God wants real communication. And God wants real communication from our hearts. Put your whole heart into your prayer life. Put your heart into your prayer life and you'll see some results. R.A. Torrey, when he was a child, was reared in a very strict Christian home, Christian atmosphere. But they always recited prayers. It was rote reciting of certain prayers, so on and so forth. R.A. Torrey, who was one of the greatest prayer warriors and preachers that ever lived, R.A. Torrey later said in the beginning of his ministry he was still doing that. Then all of a sudden, God showed him that it wasn't that, that he needed to pray from his heart and get alone with God. And R.A. Torrey said, that revolutionized my ministry. Beloved, it can revolutionize some of our lives today if we just approach God earnestly and honestly. God wants us to do that. The Lord's Prayer teaches us that God wants us to communicate with Him, to talk with Him, just like you would another loved one, with great awe and respect. Suppose I go home to Carolyn and say, "Oh, thou most wonderful wife, how thou art blessing me today." Now, I'm not saying when you pray you can't say thou and thee, but what my point is this. She'd say, "What in the world is wrong with you? What did you have for lunch? Where did the staff take you?" Or whatever. "Do they ever take me?" "Yeah, they take me once in a while." "Where did they take you? And what has it done to you?" No, I might go in and say, "Hey, babe, I love you. I'm glad to be home. What are we having for supper?" "You're a good cook. I want some of that right there." "Oh, that looks good." Now, we need to not be so afraid to talk to God. That's my point. We need to be able to go before God and pour our heart out freely and approach God. He is our Father. We need to talk to Him. Let Him know our heartbeat. Let Him know what's going on in our lives. Approach Him honestly. Approach God openly. Approach God sincerely. We don't need to pray to impress people. And we don't even need to try to jump through hoops to impress God. We just need to get on our knees, spend some time, and pour our hearts out to God, knowing that He is our Heavenly Father. And there are no special words that we have to use in order for God to hear us. God is more interested in the heart than just the intellect. God is more interested in our pouring our hearts out to Him in prayer. And I believe He teaches us that here. If we'll keep these keys in mind that are here in the Lord's Prayer, then I think we can get down to the business of praying. And God will get glory out of it. And we can get the Lord's Prayer in our minds and our hearts, and don't forget it and think about it often. Most of us know it by memory or pretty close to it. We can think about it every day and think about those elements and remember the elements of the Lord's Prayer. And when we do, we'll get down to the business of praying. And once we do that, God can do the mighty and the impossible. And the things that we think He can't do, God can do. Right here at Worth Baptist Church, God can do it. Let's learn from the Lord's Prayer. It's in the Bible. The disciples said, "Teach us to pray." And Jesus said, "This is it." Now, we know there's another Lord's Prayer that He prayed later on, but this is the example prayer for us, the sample before us. And all the elements of real prayer life are right here in Matthew chapter 6. Let's stand, please. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We praise you and worship you. And God, help us to refer in our minds, and perhaps pretty often to go back in our Bibles and reread it, and to think about each verse and each thing that is involved in each verse. I pray that you would help me, dear Lord, to be able to share some more thoughts about this. Would show us how important it is to pray by the example you've given us. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you that you can do anything and that you can work miracles. And we've seen you do it, God. I pray that you would help us to be a praying church made up of a praying people of individuals, that you might be pleased and glorified. Help us to pray the Bible way. In Jesus' name, amen.